afternoon, Radio Land. We're coming to you live from the Pickup Country 104.9 Irvin studio. This is Come On Home, bringing you the people, news, and views that make Irvin, Ravenna, and Estill County, Kentucky's hometown. I'm your host, Goosehead Joe. Hope everybody's doing well out there today, and I hope you and your property fared well through the round of storms that we had to put up with last night, and everybody's doing okay out there today. Glad you're joining us today, and joining me in the studio right now is the, now let me make sure I get this right, the District Technology Coordinator and Chief Information Officer for Estill County Schools, Mr. Jeremy Simpson. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Joe. Really appreciate being here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, over the last, I guess, year, we've had had quite a few folks from the district on the show, and we've referenced quite a few of the things that that you've been involved with or in charge of, and so it's nice to actually have the man, the myth, the legend right here so we can hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
It's definitely hard to get my business cards made with such a long job title.
Yeah, well, you know, some people believe that the more titles you have, you know, the more important you are.
It sounds like that, but well, I'm not sure if it works out that way.
Well, I wish it were. I've got about 26 titles, and only one of them pays anything. But there's so many different things going on, especially from the technology perspective with Estill County Schools, and I know that if you're not in charge of a lot of these, you're at least affiliated in one way or another. So
or at least consulted on.
Or at least somebody calls when it doesn't work. That's, and you have exactly to go play, right, with their computer.
So my mouse won't work. How do I fix this?
Well, and let's get right into that to begin with. So from the technology coordinator perspective, that's kind of you have to have that bag of tricks, right?
You do. It's you have to have somebody in the school district that where technology is becoming so prevalent in all of society. You have to have that person that can fix your computer when it's not working. You know, I jokingly said the mouse, but even something as simple as your mouse not working, you feel kind of stuck.
Well, yeah, it cripples you. If that's, yeah.
But you got to have that person you can rely on to say, listen, I'm trying to get my job done. I need this fixed. Can you get over here and get us back up and going?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a, you know, it's a daunting task. But, you know, besides your general tech, my computer's not working type of situation, or I can't connect to the internet, you know, I'm also responsible, along with my myself and the two technicians that work with me, Andrew Botorf and Matthew Robertson, who both do a fabulous job. They're really the brains behind the whole thing. They we're in charge. We have to make sure that even our connections from school to school are at a point that, you know, you're not going to have a slowdown if kids at Estill Springs are trying to access the internet, kids at West Irvin or the high school or middle school. We've got to have all that back-end infrastructure working properly so that everybody has a good experience,
right,
while they're, you know, trying to access the internet or going to a website, accessing their email, listening to your show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to have you know, high quality.
Now, if you're in school right now and you're listening to my show, you need to turn it off.
I believe that's one of the new classes. Listen to Goosehead Joe during the school day. Well, it's part of the curriculum.
Well, I'm flattered. But, you know, and
kids, there will be a test later.
That's exactly. I envision myself as still being relatively young, but it's harder and harder to remember actually being in the Estill County school system. It's more of a distant, fading memory. But, you know, I'm talking about back in the 90s, which really, in, you know, I guess in geologic terms, that's not that long, but there were very few even internet-connected computers at the high school.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been out of school since maybe even 2000, mm-hmm, you know, any time prior to that, the concept of using a computer in school was very foreign. You know, they still had some typewriter classes. I'm not sure exactly when, you know, keyboarding actually made its way out of the district, but it's kind of a passe type of thing. Now, we're actually trying to bring that back.
That's good.
We're trying to, you know, some of those basic skills, I guess, mm-hmm, they assume. But kids today are always texting with their thumbs. They don't have a lot of the basic prerequisite skill set of, you know, creating a nice Word document or PowerPoint, which is crucial in
society. To function.
And, you know, let's say you get out of high school, or you're in high school and you need to write some type of paper, type some type of paper. Then you go to college and you got to write a term paper or a thesis. You know, if you have to hunt and peck, it's going to take you
you're
weeks,
in trouble.
What should take you, you know, maybe, you know, day or two of typing. So,
well, come on, Mr. Simpson, you just invest in some good voice recognition software.
Yeah.
Bad
yeah,
part well, about that, Dragon doesn't understand us very well.
Yeah, no, neither does Siri on a cell phone. So it's I still she and I have a tumultuous relationship. She still doesn't understand. I think it's a Southern slang.
Yeah, yeah. There needs to be a Southern Siri.
Yeah, yeah,
know.
Definitely.
What y'all need?
What can I do for you?
That's right.
Have a nice day.
But now, and for a lot of folks, especially if you've been out of school for a while and you don't have any kids in the district, you're not going to really know how some of these things have changed. And I mean, there are times in classes, even I've seen it in the middle school, that they'll say, you know, the teacher will say, okay, for this assignment, you can use your devices.
Yeah. Yeah. I graduated college in 98. And even then, the birth of the internet, if you will, as we know it today, was still kind of in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I started teaching physics in Bardstown in 1998 to 99. And back then, browsing websites was still even new. And so since, you know, basically 2000 up until today, you know, there has been a huge jump in the way that technology is portrayed in the school system, how it's utilized in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
And even those that graduated as early as 2010, the things that you can do today far outweigh what you could do back then.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just with internet speed alone, the software upgrades, what you can do on the internet. Used to be you had to have a program on your computer. Now a lot of that stuff you can just do strictly by going on a web browser to an internet site.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's huge jumps, huge jumps.
Well, and as far as some of those huge jumps and how they relate to an overall educational experience.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, well, to be able to access anything you want at any time.
Well, for the listeners, think about when you was in school and you were your teacher wanted to tell you about the Hindenburg crash or anything in history. Well, now you can simply, instead of talking about it and looking at a two-dimensional picture in a book, mm-hmm. you can actually bring up the video, hear the screaming, or you know, hear the planes flying if you're showing a video about World War II, or let's say you're in a chemistry classroom and you want to show an experiment before you do it, or maybe there's some type of experiment such as putting sodium chloride in, or a something dangerous.
Right.
I was trying to think of something.
Something
dangerous.
That'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to die.
No, right, right.
And so once you actually try to take that and put it in, you know, another liquid, you know, it's better to show it in a video so they can see the outcome instead mm-hmm. of, you know, doing it, which actually now you're actually prohibited from doing those types of experiments.
Right.
That would be dangerous. So, you know, being able to utilize the internet in that sense to further the education instead of using it, you know, it's just an alternative.
Right.
So.
Well, it is exciting, and we can come back to that in a few minutes, talk about a little bit about the future. But let's talk about some of the things that you've been working on recently and you're kind of in the middle of. It was funny. He was very studious, made a nice bullet point list. I think that was more for him than it was for me. But it's very impressive, and there are a lot of acronyms and a lot of terms that I'm not really familiar with, but I'm sure every one of them is super duper cool. Kind of my knowledge is limited to, you mean everybody's got a smart board? How do I use the smart board?
Sure, sure.
but it is. It's completely different. I mean, are there any chalkboards at all in the district anymore?
Matter of fact, my office has one.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, at central office. So I have one. But in the actual district, most of those were actually replaced with normal whiteboards mm-hmm. that you write on with a dry erase marker. But back in sometime between 2000 and 2006, 2007, I'm sorry, through an initiative, we actually replaced most every single classroom in our district with a smart classroom,
mm-hmm.
which consisted of a teacher workstation, a smart board, a document camera, and a projector to and a sound system. So I'm sure some of your listeners are going, what is a smart board?
Yeah.
Well, a smart board, if you will, is imagine just a projector or your computer image being on a white screen, and then but that screen is interactive. I can it has some pencil, or they're not actual real pencils, but they're just
a stylus.
Yes, pieces of plastic in different colors. And if you pick that up, it recognizes it through the computer system, and then you can actually draw, highlight, you know, zoom in and out on the image, and it's an interaction between your computer and this projected image, and it allows the students to. It becomes more interactive instead of just showing a picture on a screen.
Right. It's kind of like having a giant iPhone screen.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That you. I mean, you can touch the screen to make things happen, and it really is super cool.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not very well versed, and so I go in and the kids laugh. Because I don't know how to do anything, and well, all you got to do is this and this and this, but they don't know any different.
Yeah, and when you think about it, your kid, I mean, you know, I still remember when a black and white television was the best one we had in the house.
Yeah.
Now it's, your kids will never know what it's like not to have digital downloads or.
Yeah.
It's.
Oh, yeah, my 4-year-old has a really hard time realizing when we're watching a broadcast show,
yeah.
Well, you know, why can't we, you know, fast forward or, you know, I mean. It should just all be allowed.
I don't believe my son has ever watched television. It's always on some type of smart device.
Yeah.
He's got Dad, why ain't the internet working? Well, son, you got to wait for it to download or, you know. Back in my day.
That's right.
You know, we had to wait till 8 o'clock for a show to come on.
And when it went off, you had to wait till the next week at the same time and watch the next one.
And if the president was on, your night was shot.
Oh, yeah. You might as well go outside because it's over. Well, let's go. I'm going to ask you about some of these.
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, I want to talk about the district website and all of the schools. I know that's been kind of your baby.
It was when I got hired in August. I was a science teacher at the high school, and thankfully was able to move up into this position in around August. And one of the big things that Mr. Saylor, our new superintendent, and I talked about was how atrocious our old website looked.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was time, our contract was up with the old website vendor, so I said, you know what, let's go out here and we'll look at a couple different scenarios, a couple different vendors, and we finally decided on one that most of the other schools are actually using. And we made it an initiative to and trained a few of the staff members at each one of the schools so we can keep them updated and make it more more modern.
You know? Right.
And we the key on any website for it to be utilized is it has to contain up-to-date information.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for specifically, I'm the one in charge of the district website. Teresa Dawes, our communications person at central office, she maintains part of it as well. But it is... For the most part, district-wise, it's the most up-to-date information you can get. And then, of course, if you want more specific information per school, you can go to each individual school's website. But for anybody listening, the website for the district, and you can, of course, get to any of the websites, to any of the other schools from the district side, is estill.kyschools.us.
And that's pretty standard for
school
districts.
For all schools, yeah. If you want to go to Boyd counties, you just boyd.estill.kyschools.us. Or boyd.kyschools.us, and you can get to pretty much any district website in the entire state of Kentucky.
But I would encourage you. It's one of those things that you now that we have some of these things available, you don't realize how much you would have liked to have them before. Mm-hmm. Just like, I mean, every month, all of the lunch menus are going up.
Yeah. I actually work with Blenda Puckett, our food service director.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, if we do this new website, and I train you how to do it, can you put these up there? She goes, sure. And God love her, she's done it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that way, any of the parents going, what's Estill Springs having today?
Well, right.
They can just go straight to the website and have the most up-to-date information.
Well, and that's the thing. If the kids... You know, and once upon a time, the menus didn't even go home with the kids.
Yeah.
You just had to wait for the paper to come out.
Yeah.
So, but that's, I mean, now, you know, my kid, you know, somehow the menu didn't make it home, so I can just bring
it up. Yeah.
I mean, perfect, right from my phone.
Yeah.
And it really, and it, there really is a plethora of information on there. And I know, and it's difficult to try to stay on top of that. And it's such a huge task, especially trying to keep up to date.
It's a living document.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta, you may go there at 1 o'clock to find something, and you know, we don't change it till 1:30. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have to keep checking, you know, look back as frequently as you can. And I'm even sure some of the, you know, one of the great things that we've done that this website has allowed us to do that I believe some of the listeners probably saw, especially when there's snow days, I can, just using my cell phone, a matter of fact, I've been called at 4 o'clock in the morning by Mr. Sailor, hey, there's no school today, and I'll jump on there, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, half asleep, and say, you know, school canceled, and,
right.
you know, we can get that information. Plus, we do our one call system that, you know, calls out to all the school, you know, to all the parents so they can
right.
understand and get that via phone if they are not going to, of course, be going to the internet.
Well, and it's cool, too, because you have that connected with the social media accounts for the district as well.
We do. One of the big and other initiatives besides our website is we wanted to have a Facebook presence because everybody, well, most everybody's using Facebook and mm-hmm. Twitter. Those are the two we've chosen so far. You know, if we see that some of the other social media outlets such as Instagram or
Snapchat,
yeah. If we
snap tweet it to your Facegram,
if we see those are becoming more prevalent, we may switch over to, you know, include those. But as of right now, you can through the district website, you can at the very bottom right hand corner. We have a Facebook logo and a Twitter logo that mm-hmm. will take you directly there. Or if you're on Facebook or Twitter, you can just do a search for Estill County BOE, which BOE for Board of Education.
Right.
Spell out the word county. And Estill County BOE on either one of those social media sites, and they can pull up the district's Facebook. Now, each one of the, as part of my mandate when I created this and was speaking with the principals at the school, I wanted them to also create their own individual school Facebook and Twitter accounts. I haven't checked to see if that's happened yet, but I think most of them do have their own Facebook and Twitter accounts now.
Well, it's cool
at
stuff.
Least Facebook, not Twitter, not necessarily.
Right. Well, and it's funny. The Facebook is more now for the parents, grandparents.
Yeah.
Twitter, well, the kids are even moving away from Twitter now
yeah,
because
Snapchat,
there's old people getting
yeah.
on Twitter.
Yeah. You know, oh, grandma's on Twitter?
Right.
Well, I need to pick something else.
So they're moving on to the Instagram, Snapchat, and
yeah.
whatever's next.
Right.
It's there's no reason in trying to keep up.
No,
you can just you try to figure out where they are and then and try to stay with them. But
find the one you like to use and use it till you know
till it's gone.
Till it's gone.
Yeah, pretty yeah. much. But it is really neat to see the different events, the different there are different teams or when students are being honored for certain things that you may not hear about otherwise. Some of these, especially, I guess you'd say the less popular, maybe not the as traditional, you know, it might not be the basketball team. It might be, you know, this other sport or activity that they didn't have when you were in school, so you don't know anything about it.
Such as our archery team.
Exactly.
So we got some parents who don't even know we have an archery team. That,
yeah.
We start, myself, through Mr. Ballard, our athletic director, myself and Corey Stringfield, one of the biology teachers at the high school,
mm-hmm.
We initiated that program last year, and he and I were both the head coaches, and had approximately 29 kids
mm-hmm.
that were participating in archery that, you know, may not necessarily be a football player, a baseball player,
sure.
a volleyball player, a girl softball, or anything like that. So, you know, it gives another outlet for students to participate. And matter of fact, we could even start a bowling team or a bass fishing team. But, you know, you have to have the prerequisites for that. You have to have the number of students wanting to do it. Two, you got to have, for bass fishing, you got to have the boats and the adults
right.
in the boats. So it's a little bit more of an undertaking.
Where are you going bowling?
Well, we don't have the bowling team yet. That'd be a nice thing to have. But, you know, we'd probably have to go to, like, Richmond or something like that. And, of course, you know, Richmond would have to, you know, they go to their local bowling alley,
sure.
of course, to do their practice.
Well, and then Lee County.
Yeah.
At the rec
yeah,
center.
There you go.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
See, there you go. We need a bowling alley just so we can have a bowling team.
Somebody get on that. Let's get the fundraising started just so we can have a bowling alley.
If only you knew how many people.
And bass boats. We have
yeah.
some bass boats.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm sure we could get somebody to donate, you know, 12 brand new Skeeters or something. Yeah, yeah. but it is really cool, and trying to make sure. And I've talked about this before. I was invited to serve on the district communications committee, trying to figure out more ways to get the word out. And that's been, I know you've been a huge cog in that wheel, and trying to make sure. It's so hard to get the word out to people because not everybody is plugged into every different kind of media.
It is. You know, it'd be great if we had just one outlet that we could go to and it reaches everybody. And you know, part of our mandate, we call it the Strategic Communications Task Force.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we wanted a really cool name. We're going to get some shirts and jackets made later.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. But we wanted, the reason for that is, in a sense of a task force, is, you know, we were, you know, lacking in our communications with the community. Nobody knew what was going on. It used to be that we would have a snow day and parents would call the teacher saying, hey, you're going to have a snow day today, and we hadn't even been told.
Right.
So, you know, with this task force, it's all about disseminating information to the public, the staff, the students, so that there's complete 100% transparency in our district.
Mm-hmm.
So that at any point in time you can say, oh, I know what's going on. I can go here to get the official word, because nobody likes everybody likes to gossip, but nobody likes the gossip when it's wrong.
Right.
Sometimes they like the gossip when it's wrong. I guess I really need to rethink that statement.
Depends on what the gossip is.
It depends on what it is. But they would rather have factual information.
Sure.
Prime example, it's the end of the year. We're going to be having prom mm-hmm. this coming up weekend. We've got, what, less than 2 weeks of school left.
Yeah.
Everybody has questions
crazy.
About graduation. What's going to be happening if there's a storm, you know, things like that. And by being able to quickly get that information out on our website and on Facebook and Twitter and our one call system, they can know the true things that are going on,
right,
instead of secondhand information.
An official statement.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I still get tickled, though, because 90-something% of the time, you're going to get the post out that says school's closed for a snow day. Sometimes you'll be after a few of the one calls come out, and it's almost like a race for these parents on Facebook. There will be 500 people that all of a sudden post on there, no school today. You know,
I'm pretty sure everybody's going to find out.
Everybody's going to get the phone call.
You want to be the one to say, I was the one to announce it first.
Yeah, I was first.
Yeah. They announced it at 4:32. I put it on at 4:31.
That's so right. I beat the district.
That's right. I'm in the know.
That's exactly right. But I do. And they just keep posting it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 20 minutes after the fact. Okay, yes, we understand. Yeah. No school.
10 a.m. Hey, there's no school today. Well, thank you.
Well, it keeps running around on the news, so why not? But, again, I'm joined by Jeremy Simpson, the tech guru for Estill County Schools, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. Again, I'm joined by Jeremy Simpson, the District Tech Coordinator and Chief Information Officer for Estill County Schools. We're talking about some of the cool things that are going on in the district technology-wise. So, all right, Jeremy, I've got some terms on here that I'm really not sure what they mean. Now, I know there's a lot of those in the tech world, but okay, first of all,
We can throw out an acronym or some techie term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you've got the science background too, so that entire world is all acronyms.
I try.
And
I
things
try.
Named after people's last name. You know, well, this is, we're going to apply the Simpson effect.
That's a tangential modification of the angular thrust in proportion to the invecular plane. You know, pretty simple stuff.
Keep rolling with it, Sheldon. All right. Well, now, exactly, this sounds like it's from Star Wars. What is a light speed filter?
Well, the state of Kentucky is one of the few states in the entire United States. Matter of fact, as far as I know, we're the only state that Kentucky Department of Education's technology division coordinates all of the school systems into one entity.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that they control, every other school district and every other state is pretty much on their own on every single thing that they do. But we're fortunate in the sense that we all work together. And one of the things that the state did, how do we control filtering of the internet for the students that are using it?
Okay.
In the past, when you have just straight internet like you have at home, you don't have a filter. Your filter is don't do that,
right?
Or you probably shouldn't go to that website. But how do you do that in a classroom full of 30 kids getting on a computer? They have their own personal cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
How do we control the data flowing into and out of our district's internet? So one, you're protecting the students of Estill County from themselves, if you will, from
sure.
being curious and going to certain websites on the internet. But how do you also protect your network infrastructure so that it doesn't allow for viruses to come in and mess with everything?
Sure.
And so what one of the things the state did, we used to have a technical term is called a proxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be one of the ways that we used to filter. But in, I think, September of this year, right, a month after I got hired, the state put in a new filtering device called from Lightspeed Systems. And what this does is it allows us to, on a granular level, granular meaning I can get down to an individual student or an individual website, but it allows us to control access to websites. We can put those websites into groups, and thankfully we don't even have to do that. This company, working with the state of Kentucky, has basically their team monitors or filters and categorizes every single website that comes through, and if they don't have a category for it, they automatically park it, meaning that if they don't have a record of that website, they put it into a safe area so that someone on their team can look at it and mm-hmm. categorize it. If it's an educational website, they'll categorize it as educational. If it's a website for gambling, they'll categorize it as gambling. If it's a pornography website that mm-hmm. a child's trying to go to, it stops the child from seeing it, puts it in a category, lets an adult categorize it, and then sets up all these categories automatically in our system, so we don't have to do anything. And now let's say there's a website that a teacher wants to go to that's a legitimate website. Maybe it got miscategorized by the people looking at it.
Sure.
Or, we can actually go in and override that site if we deem that it is safe.
Yeah.
And not only can we, for those that don't understand how websites work, you can have layers and layers and layers within a website. Well, I can actually break it down with this filter to one particular page of that website, and no other part of the website is accessible.
Sure.
And
that
so,
makes sense.
You know, and it's a good way. And matter of fact, one of the things it does is when if a student does try to sneak past or try to get to a website, it will actually notify us. With that student's username and password, we know who did it, what time they did it, the website they were going to, and then we can pass that on to the principals to take corrective action.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not a, you know, they're depending upon what was happening, could be a punishment type of thing, or, you know, we're a school system. You know, it's not a ha-ha, we caught you. It's a, you know, you don't need to be going to this website for this particular reason.
Right.
Because we want the kids to learn why they shouldn't go to these websites. We'll let the punishment come from the parents.
That's right. Well, and that is really neat. And I remember very few years ago, under the old system, it was a constant, well, kind of like beating the man sort of thing, that there were always these new proxy beating websites coming up. So,
and you see, with our new system, you cannot do that. Matter of fact, it's all of that's automatically proxies are categorized, what they call tunnel proxies. Certain types of VPNs, because technically in the past you used to be able to create a VPN to another private network, and then you could actually access inappropriate material or get to whatever material you're trying to get to that way. And with this new system, it locks it down. It does not get out.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's really neat.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked you about
that. A lot of parents may not know that. They might think that internet access at the school level it's just like at home, and it's not. As a matter of fact, we're not even say the public library.
Mm-hmm.
Our filtering standards are a lot more strict.
I'm sure you have a very specific audience.
Yes,
so.
And it's supposed to be. You know,
yeah.
Technically, you know, we don't have to provide your son or daughter access to YouTube.
Right.
We, you know, our internet is for educational purposes and used in an educational way. You know, it's not there just for you to use for your own freedom.
Right, to watch cat videos.
Yeah.
You know, what I do.
I like cat videos.
Well, good thing you're in charge of letting those through.
Yes. Yeah, if you have a cat video you want to bypass, just let me know.
Okay. Well, let's go down and hit another one here. Sure. So, okay. So what is this 1-to-1? Cause I really don't understand what this is trying to tell me.
One of the biggest issues that school systems face is you've got all this great technology. You've got websites you can go to, videos you can watch, audio you can listen to. But what do you do when you have a school that you've got one computer lab and, you know, you need your students working on a paper, you want them doing some type of online research, and you just want other teachers already in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
So then that basically means you've got, let's say you have 50 teachers at a school, well, 49 others are, they can't utilize the technology.
Yeah. Right.
And so Mr. Saylor, one of his initiatives that we're currently working on, hope to take to the board here in the next board meeting, I believe, don't quote me on that, but it's coming up soon. We're trying to initiate a 1-to-1 program, and what that entails is providing a computer for each student in the school. Now, the way that the initiative is currently working, we would start off in 2018 with providing a laptop-style Chromebook for all students, grades 9 through 12, and then we would roll that further back in the summer of 2020 for the middle school, grades 6 through 8.
Wow.
And, you know, these are, you know, when you say, oh, they're going to provide a computer to each student. The way these Chromebooks are, just to kind of educate you a little bit, they're not like your Windows Dell machine,
right,
or IBM or whatever machine you go buy from Walmart or Dell or Microsoft or Apple. They're not to that level. These devices, they're small clamshell laptops. You know, they have a hard case. But the operating system they're running is from Google.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire premise behind it is that it's for accessing web material.
Right.
And so basically it's a computer, it starts up, and then it accesses the web through a web browser, like for those of you that have Google Chrome downloaded. And most of them do have even a video camera, so you could even do some type of video conferencing, if you will.
Sure.
But, you know, they're not a powerhouse. You're not going to, you know, do high-end number crunching or anything like that on it. But they're more than powerful enough to browse websites, do research, play videos.
Word processing.
Yeah. Even Excel spreadsheets. One of the great things is, you know, your main web processing software right now is Microsoft Office.
Mm-hmm.
And so our school district has a system in place that all the teachers and every student, all the way down to grade two, I'd have to look, I can't remember how low we go right now.
Mm-hmm.
But at least from grade two up, every single student has a username and password and email address in our district. And they can go online and access online versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, their email, Skype, which is now called Skype for Business, and actually access all this using their school information. And mm-hmm. then, once we roll out this 1-to-1, they will actually be able to use their Chromebook to do this. And then, of course, they're going to be able to use that, you know, if you're in a classroom with 30 kids, all 30 are now going to have a Chromebook in front of them so that they can do their research. We can control those. We have a what's called a MDM or mobile device manager in place so that we can control those machines in conjunction with our light speed filter. We're going to be, for those parents saying, well, what are you going to do if my son or daughter comes home with their Chromebook and they're, you know, looking at stuff on our home internet? You know, we control our home computer, but what about this Chromebook you're giving
them? Right.
Well, we can actually take the same filtering technology that we house in our buildings and put it onto the Chromebook so that when they take that Chromebook anywhere, if they're on the internet, we are filtering them still the same. That way.
That's too cool.
Oh, yeah.
So these Chromebooks, they're actually going to go home with the kids?
Yes, they are. They are going to be, and that's going to be a daunting task into
itself. Wow!
Yeah, it's, you know, you think little Johnny's going to be taking his Chromebook home, you know, what happens, you know,
right,
if he accidentally drops it, you know, sadly, what if somebody steals it?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at, as part of this program, we're looking at including insurance on each device.
Mm-hmm.
It's believe it or not, it's only about $15 per machine, and that would be part of our purchase of those. And then if something were to happen to that device, it's a $50 deductible.
Yeah.
And the reason the deductible is there is to prohibit. Oh well, I know my child's coming home with a Chromebook. I'm going to go pawn it so I can go buy something.
Right.
You know, it's to prohibit that type of mentality. So we want to, you know, we want these to be utilized in a sense as productively as we can for the kids.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're using them what they're for. It's so they can do their research at home. So they can do their paper at home. So they can, you know, watch cat videos.
It puts everybody on a level playing field.
It does. It does. It's bringing us into the...
That's, you know, nuts, man.
Yeah, I mean, at the forefront of technology.
I mean, this is one of those things that you hear about, the Gates Foundation helped some inner city, you know, this district that's in some big place.
Yeah.
To happen. You don't hear about this kind of thing happening in a rural community like we have.
And it's a daunting task.
Sure.
But if we want Estill County to grow and to mature and expand out, this is what we got to do. We got to take the risk, and we have to get into the hands of the students the items that are going to help them to grow.
That's beast.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Oh man, yeah, I kind of want to dance a little bit. That's, I mean, that's high end stuff right there. That is amazing.
Yeah. It's and of course as part of that, we're going to be upgrading all of our network infrastructure in all the schools. And one of the big even from the standpoint of the network, you know, a lot of people go, well, how much if you want to upgrade your network to handle all of these Chromebooks, you know, because right now if you have an iPhone, an iPad, a personal computer, mm-hmm. we allow the students to bring those in,
right?
At least at the high school level. But if you want to bring in your laptop, of course, you can connect to our network, and we have a way of filtering even personal devices.
Sure.
And so, you know, when you think, you know, if you have just looking at the middle school and high school alone, you know, you're looking at approximately 1,500 kids. You don't realize how much technology you have to have in the back end just to support that type of, you know, displaying of cat videos.
That's a lot of internet.
Yes,
flying
it
around.
Is. A lot of them. A lot of winders.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things we're doing, a lot of people don't know is, well, how is Estill County going to pay for that?
Sure.
You know, there are funds. A lot of people don't understand that there are funds set aside that are technology related only.
Mm-hmm.
You legally can only use those for technology. And one of those is called E-rate funds. And again, I have no idea what E stands for in E-rate, but that's the acronym, E-rate. And so one of my many hats that I wear is I'm in charge of E-rate for our district.
Mm-hmm.
And we apply for that, following all the crossing the T's, dotting the I's, how is it going to be used? You can only buy certain things. But I have applied through our wireless vendor that creates all of our wireless network in our schools and the back-end infrastructure. I've worked with them to come up with a game plan of updating everything. And it's about a $357,000 upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, well, how's Estill County going to afford that? Well, because of E-rate, we're going to be covered 85% of that cost. So our actual cost in the district, using the technology funds that we have from what's called KETS, again, I have no idea what that acronym stands for. A lot of acronyms in the world of education.
So technology is the T. We know that.
Techie stuff. I'll just say techie stuff. But through those funds that we get in, we pay about 15% is all we have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting, you know, almost, you know, $350,000 worth of upgraded equipment.
Right.
And so we go through a process. You know, it's not 100%. You know, something can happen and we don't get it. But it's very, very, very rare. And so we've started that process. I look for us to be awarded that hopefully sometime before Christmas. And we can start that upgrade and have everything in place before the Chromebooks come into play, provided the board approves.
Again, sure.
All this is board approval. And we can go ahead and have that in place so that we'll be rocking and rolling by the time we implement those.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. And, you don't want to buy a bunch of Chromebooks and, you know, distribute them to the kids, and the kids are like, I'm trying to, you know, access the internet and it won't connect.
Right.
You know, it's a, you know, you have to take all this into consideration. It's a lot of planning that you have to make sure you're ready for.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You that's got to be one of your wake up in a cold sweat at 3 o'clock in the morning. Distribute a couple thousand Chromebooks, and then none of them access the internet.
Yeah, it's like you basically wasted all those, yeah, all the money and all the time, and it's a.
You got to be ready.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
That's so cool. Well, let's switch gears a little bit.
Sure.
You have there's a new initiative going into place that is addressing something that's kind of a hot topic in the news and something that all parents should be aware of, and that is cyberbullying.
Yes, yes. It's anybody that sends their kid to school, that's one of your big worries.
Mm-hmm.
Are they safe? What's going on? Tragically, there's been, school shootings. There's been, just terrible, terrible things happening across the entire nation when it comes to, schools in general.
Sure.
So how do we keep our kids safe? Well, our district, we're not the only one. There's maybe 50 to 100 other school districts that have partnered with the Kentucky Center for School Safety. And we have what's called the Stop Tip Line. So our board has approved it, and we put it on our website. So on any of the district websites, on the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see the symbol for the Stop Tip Line. And that's available to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click there, it brings open a website. And from that website, you can choose, I need to report an instance of bullying. I need to report some type of violent behavior or some other type of issue that might be going around, some type of harmful behavior. Somebody's contemplating suicide. Well, sometimes it's better to post things anonymously.
Sure.
And so this is, for the most part, an anonymous tip line. It comes to the four different people at the district office that have been trained, and so as those come in, we will filter those messages and decide who to contact.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something simple like bullying that a school principal can take care of, or has somebody said, we know there's something dangerous that's about to happen, notify authorities. And one of the big issues that I had was, what do we do about prank posts?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause where this is on our public website, anybody can post to it. And so with our board approval, one of the things we're looking at is there will be repercussions for anyone that posts any type of fraudulent activity. It's with the understanding it's to keep people safe. This is not the avenue to get somebody in trouble because you don't like them. This is not the avenue that, I'm just going to be funny. Because if you do, there will be harsh repercussions. If it's a student, very much so. If it was, I don't know if you remember a few years ago, there was a mother in some other state that, she made a fake Facebook post and was intimidating one of her daughter's friends that, beat her out of a cheerleading
mm-hmm.
Place or something like that. And so, she was doing this, in a harmful way.
Right.
Well, even in this regard, if a parent were to overhear something, they can actually go and make this post. But they have to understand that if they're doing this for a malicious reason, like this mother was, there will be law enforcement will be brought in.
Yeah, there are ways to track you, no matter what. Yeah,
we say it's anonymous, but, it's not going to tell us specifically who the person was, but it does track through IP address.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand how the internet works, that, your IP address is just like an address. And
yep.
So if you do this from your phone, they say somebody asks, well, what if they go to the public library? Well, even if you go to the library, they have to sign you in to the computer that you're using. And so there is the way to track this down to find out who it was that posted a false type of situation, if
right.
We deem it as false. But we would only go that far if we saw that it was, problematic.
Right, right.
For the main reason, we need to know. If somebody's being bullied, sometimes kids don't want to go to their teacher and tell them. But they say, I'm going to let them know because I don't want to seem like I'm a rat to anybody. So I'm going to, post this, and then, hopefully it'll get to the right person and we can get them some help. Now, it's not, this is not a substitute for 911, of course.
Sure.
This is, you know, it's a, when they post, it sends out emails, and then, of course, we analyze it. You know, of course, you always want to call 911.
If it's imminent danger,
yes,
yeah.
If it is an emergency, please call 911. But this is more for, I know something's happening or about to happen, and I'm trying to make you aware of it.
Right. It may need some more investigation.
Investigation.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, that's another wonderful service, and again, technology makes it possible.
I will say that our board has, along with Mr. Saylor, has done a great job of making sure that we are progressing. You know, mm-hmm. we're not being held back. They're willing to take a chance on some of these things, and such as the one-to-one or the stop tip line, so that we can get to where we need to be to help kids
right.
to learn, you know, be safe in the environment that they're in.
Sure. Taking a few measured risks to hopefully take leaps forward.
Yes, exactly.
That's wonderful. Well, I want to ask you.
Get that on a T-shirt. That was,
that does sound kind of cool, doesn't it?
That was.
We need to put them on trucker hats. But real quick, before we wrap up here, I want to ask you a little bit about the future. And I know, especially in the world of technology, everything is so uncertain because you have no idea kind of what's going to get hot and take off. You know, right now we're looking at, of course, 3D printing is a huge thing. Virtual reality it looks like it could be now after Google Glass kind of failed. That could be kind of the next big
step,
especially from an educational perspective,
sure.
because not only are you going from seeing a picture of Brunelleschi's dome, which was one of Danny Wood's favorites, in Florence. You're not just seeing a picture of it. Now you can look up, live video stream of it, actually there. But then the next step is you put on a headset and you can walk the streets and see it
in virtual reality.
So, how do you prepare? How do you get ready for what that next thing is going to be? And you know, what can you kind of do on the back end to make sure that you're ready to tackle it?
You know, it's finances always are a big stalemate when you're trying to stay ahead of the curve,
of course.
But one of the things I know, one of the other initiatives, if you'll let me digress here for a second, that we're trying to move forward with is trying to implement some technology courses mm-hmm. at both the middle school and the high school that is more aligned towards these latest and greatest types of things. You know, we're trying to get a game plan. You know, it's not something you just do overnight and go, hey, we got a technology class.
Right.
You know, you have to think it out. You have to plan. You have to, of course, have the funds. And even if you had the best classroom, the kids lined up, all the technology, who's going to teach it?
Right.
You know, you have to have somebody with the wherewithal to investigate on their own. And if they don't know, to study so they can be brought up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying right now to look at improving all of this so that we can, bring in some. I know one of the things we're looking at now is this technology course that's going to have principles of engineering. Which is they might look at 3D modeling, drafting, some of the background for mechanical and electrical engineering. And we're trying to get that, you know, if we can get everything in order and lined out and a good curriculum so that we're not wasting our time.
Sure.
You know, it's gonna propel these students to the forefront so that when they leave high school and they go on to college, you know, they're going to know what's going on. You
mm-hmm.
know, or let's say, you know, college is not for everybody.
Right.
You know, we'd love to have 100% of our students end up in college. But, you know, let's say you want to become an electrician. Do you really need to spend 4 years in college to be an electrician? No.
Yeah, a psychology degree is not going to help you with electricity.
No, not at all. maybe after you get shocked, but you
exactly.
know, after that. But, you know, so, you know, we, as part of this, you know, it might even help some of, you know, give some of the background to those students so that if they go into some type of field that, you know, maybe who's to say that 3D modeling, you know, 5 years from now isn't making your pipe bends when you're trying to, you know, run some plumbing.
It's a good point.
You know, it's, you know, give them the access, give them the experience so that they can be ready. You know, that's what we're about.
That's very cool. And yeah, I mean, and that's an excellent angle. Mm-hmm. And a nice place to wrap up, I believe.
We're trapped.
You're very close now, I believe, to breaking the record for.
Well, let's keep talking. We need to.
We're an hour seven here on Come On Home.
3 hours later.
But this is all. It's such. it's so exciting and it's so neat to know, because so much of this is kind of it has to go on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And then the kids get to interact with it. They take it for granted because all this technology is all they've ever known.
Sure.
So
sure.
from a parent, grandparent, just community member perspective, it's exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, just staying ahead of the curve. I mean,
right.
It's because the technology is changing, you know, it's a, you know, you learn about one thing one day, and then the next day it's like, oh, that's, nobody does that anymore.
Yeah.
I can tell how technologically savvy somebody is when they say, yeah, I've got one of those MySpace pages. Yeah. Of course, MySpace, I think it died about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think if somebody says that, it's them and Tom. They're the only ones left on there.
And if I can give a word of advice for any of you listeners that have an AOL account, you need to get rid of it. You know? Gmail, it would be a good place to start.
Yeah, you might as well. Yeah. It's all free anyway.
Yes, yes. Before we go, I want to say,
give
a shout out to my son, Gabriel. He's over at West Irvin right now. He's techie like his dad and real into sports. And my stepdaughter, Sarah Thompson, she's over at the middle school. And my beautiful, intelligent, lovely wife at working at Carhartt, Stacy Simpson. So
you got to give the shout outs.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's all right. Well, from Estill County Schools, the Chief Information Officer and District Technology Coordinator, Mr. Jeremy Simpson. Sir, I know you are a busy, busy man. I appreciate you taking the time today.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, we'll have you back.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, once you knock this list out, we'll come back and talk about the next one.
That's cool. You know, maybe we need to have like a tech hour with the DTC CIO.
As long as we don't have to say DTCCIO.
Yeah, well, make people just repeat it.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, thanks again. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more. You're listening to Come On Home. Welcome back to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe. Another big thanks and shout out to Jeremy Simpson. That was a great conversation. I had no idea that some of those things were going on, and that's just really cool, man. Some of that stuff is just, you'd have no idea. And see, that's why we have good folks like him to come on and let you know, because the people need to know. Some of these stories, you know, they're kind of... I don't know. Like I said, they have to kind of go on in the background because there's so much work, so much legwork that has to be done to put any sort of initiatives like some of these in place. So to let a gentleman like that come on and let him toot his horn a little bit. And I know he's got a great crew that he works with, and we're on the right track. It's good stuff, and I'm kind of fired up now. This is good stuff to hear. So I'm going to follow that up with, of course, let's celebrate a little bit on some good news with, let's have a little Jenkins Twins. Here's their version of Landslide.
One, two, three, four.
Took my love and I took it down. Climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? And can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tide? Can I handle the season of my life? Thank you. my love, take it down. Climb a mountain and turn around. And if you see my reflection in snow-covered hills, will the landslide bring it down? And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, will the landslide bring it down?
You're listening to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe, and we're going to do a few more tunes for you right now. I think I got to jump in and do an old goosey for you off of established 1970. There we go. This is Goose Creek Symphony with A Satisfied Mind.
And the lowliest to gather in their stalls. I hear hear them all, I hear them all, I hear them all. Dixie, with your money and your power, I can hear the flowers growing in the rubble of the towers. I hear leaders quit their lying, I hear babies quit their crying, I hear soldiers quit their dying, one and all. I hear them all, I hear them all, I hear them all. Gentle Lamb of Judah sleeping at the feet of Buddha, and the prophets from Elijah to the old Paiute Wovaka take their places at the table when they're called. I hear them all, I hear them all, I hear them all. I hear them all, I hear them all, I hear them all. I hear them all, I hear them all, I hear them all.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
You You're listening to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe, and I got a couple announcements that I want to throw at you. Let's see. The Estill Action Group, the Actioneers, they have an Actioneer adventure coming up this Friday, May the 13th at 6 p.m. They're doing a paddle on Miller's Creek. They're meeting at the American Legion at 730 Miller's Creek Road. Again, that's this Friday, May 13th at 6 p.m. So 6 o'clock up at the Legion, they're going to go for a paddle on Miller's Creek. Do you need a kayak? Well, just reach out to them. You can find all their contact info at EstillActionGroup.com or just look them up, Estill Action Group, on Facebook. Now, it is supposed to possibly keep raining, so check out their Facebook page and watch for updates. They may end up having to reschedule because of all the rain. So just make sure and check that out. Again, you just go to facebook.com/Estill Action Group. So again, that's this coming Friday, May 13th, starting at 6. We talk about this every year. Great, great program. The National Association of Letter Carriers is doing their Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive this Saturday, May 14th. Now, how can you participate? Just put your non-perishable food items that you'd like to donate in a bag and put them by your mailbox, and your mail carrier will pick it up, and then they'll deliver it all to our local food bank. So, again, that's this Saturday is the the Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. I laugh because of course, my wife's dad, a rural mail carrier for many, many years, and he always made a point. We always had to make sure and get our donation put together and put out front next to the mailbox so they could come pick it up. They do a great job. This tends to go really well each year, and I know the food bank definitely will appreciate your donation. So just make sure this Saturday, everybody knows basically when the mailman's going to come, you know. Go ahead and get your stuff together and put it out there on your next to your mailbox, or hang it on your mailbox, or however you like to do it. But put it in a bag for them. Make sure that it is non-perishable. You don't want to put a fresh souffle out there. It's got to be something that they can that'll keep for a while to make sure that when it gets to the food bank, they will be able to use it. That's very important. So, again, Friday at 6, you've got the Actioneer Adventure, paddle on Miller's Creek, meet up at the Legion, and then Saturday, go ahead and put your non-perishable food item donations out next to your mailbox, and your mail carrier will take care of that, and it all goes right here locally to our food bank. So, two great, great programs there. All right, let's do a little Tyler Childers for you here. Here is him doing Lady May.
This is the last one right here. It's called Lady May. Stone's throw from the mill, and I'm a good walk to the river. When my working day is over, we'll go swim our cares away. Put your toes down in the water, and a smile across your face, and tell me that you love me, lovely Lady May. Now I ain't the sharpest chisel that your hands have ever held, but darling, I could love you well till the roll is called on high. I've seen my share of trouble, and I've held my weight in shame, but I'm baptized in your name. Thank you. shivering as it waltzes o'er the leaves. It's been rushing through my timber till your love brought on the spring. Now the mountains all are blushing and they don't know what to say, except a good long line of praises for my lovely Lady May. Now I ain't the toughest hickory that your axe has ever felled, but I'm a hickory just as well. I'm a hickory all the same. I came crashing through the forest as you cut my roots away, and I fell a good long ways for my lovely Lady May. That's like...
Don't you ever let no woman rule your mind. Don't you ever let no woman rule your mind. Well, she'll leave you trouble, worried all the time. Well, I gotta let my mind hurt what it read.
Listening to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe, and we're rocking a few tunes here in the last few minutes of the show, and I want to play one here by my buddy Stanley Neese. I've played it on the show, I think, once before. This is, of course, I have played Big Town quite a few times, and I love that song, and I guess you'd call this the B-side to that single. This is one called Go With Me Tonight.
Beside me. She's got 10 legs, blonde hair, blue eyes, she's on fire. And I love how she moves when she's walking away. Yeah. I'm saying. I don't think she knows me, but man, I know her. She's got the prettiest eyes in the world. You know I gotta say something to her. I said, if you wanna roll out me tonight, there's a little country road out by the moon off to the right. We can sit and count the stars as it slowly passes by. Maybe later we can turn out the lights. Mm-hmm. You go with me tonight. Another true love. And she's got black hair. My little Galway girl looks like a new love. And she talks like a sailor. She fights like a man. She'll drink you underneath the table, pick you up, and then she'll put you there again. You got a smile like an angel. The devil in her eyes. She's got a bottle of Bane by her side. You know I gotta say something tonight. I said, if you wanna roll out me tonight, there's a little country road out by the moon off to the right. We can sit and count the stars as it slowly passes by. Maybe later we can turn out the lights. Mm-hmm. You go with me tonight. No, I always said the same damn thing. I'd said, if you wanna roll out me tonight, there's a little country road out by the moon onto the right. We can sit and count the stars. It slowly passes by. Maybe later we can turn out. Later we can turn out the lights. Go with me tonight. There's a little country road out by the moon onto the right. We can sit and count the stars. It slowly passes by. Maybe later we can turn out the lights. Mm-hmm. You go with me tonight. You go with me tonight. You go with me tonight. All right.
I wonder if it's raining in the mountain. I wonder how the old town looks today. And if the church is there beside the river, could I go back and find where Mama lay? Does life still go to sleep just after sunset? Are the berries still as big on the vine? Do old men sit and talk about the old days the way they did in 1949? Oh, 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 how I'd like to be back in the hills of Tennessee. Oh, 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 it would be so fine if I could just go back to 1949. I wonder if by chance they might remember a teenage boy so wild and fancy free, who always loved guitars and country music. If I went back, would they remember me? I wonder what became of Catherine Acres, the girl who broke my heart at 17. I barely can remember what she looked like. 30 years ago, she was my dream. Oh, 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 how I'd like to be back in the hills of Tennessee. Oh, 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 it could be so fine if I could just go back to 1949. For many years I've searched the wide world over for what I don't recall and didn't find. And now I'm searching pictures in my memory for Tennessee 1949. Oh, 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 how I'd like to be back in the hills of Tennessee. Oh, 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 it could be so fine if I could just go back to 1949.
You're listening to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe, and we're doing a few tunes to round out the show today. I had to sneak in a little Larry Sparks there because, you know, why not? You always got any chance you get to play some Larry Sparks, then fire on it. Well, let me ask you this. Do you like CCR? Well, if you do, just put a candle in the window.
Guess I've got that old traveling bone.
listening to Come On Home with Goosehead Joe, and we're about to round out the show today. So how about a little boogie for you? Here's some Stevie Wonder.
Thank you. on fire, they say they're the prettiest things you have seen. And I ain't a gambler, but I'd bet the farm that Detroit's a gold mine waiting for me. Can't refuse. And I'd love to go back to the hills where I was born, instead of working on cars that I can't afford. My pockets are empty, my patience is torn. Oh, look what's become of me. Tell you I'm fine, I'm working real hard, and I pray every night. So don't you worry, I'm happy and free. Detroit's been like a blessing to me.
What a way to finish it out there. Finish out the show today with some old Tyler Childers. I'm told that's how he sees that song. It actually came out several years ago, but I like it, so that's all right. But we have come to the end of this week's show. I got to say another big thank you to Jeremy Simpson from Estill County Schools, and talking about all of the fantastic things that are going on technology-wise in our district over the next few years especially. There's some great stuff happening, and I look forward to seeing how everything unfolds. Of course, I do have two kids in the local school district, so it's exciting to be able to see them have opportunities that just weren't available when I was a kid. So it's awesome stuff. I need to remind you again, the Actioneer Adventure coming up this Friday, May 13th at 6 p.m. They're doing a paddle on Miller's Creek. You can meet up at the Legion on Miller's Creek Road at 6 o'clock. If you need a kayak, then reach out to them. You can either go to EstillActionGroup.com or Facebook.com/EstillActionGroup. Make sure and watch that Facebook for updates, because all this rain, you just never know, and they'll only go out there if it's going to be completely safe. Also, don't forget this Saturday, Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive by the National Association of Letter Carriers. Again, this Saturday, put your donation of non-perishable food items in a bag, put them by your mailbox, hang them on your mailbox, whatever you need to do. They will pick it up and deliver it to our local food bank. It's such a great, great initiative that they do every year, and they do a great job. So really nice. Make sure and participate there. As for me, it looks like I am out of here, and I do hope sincerely in the week to come, please be kind to yourself and be kind to one another. Have a great one, everybody.
How could life be so cold? Where did all the water go that my boat was floating on yesterday? Has my ship run aground, or have I finally found that the ocean I was on was just a bay? And as I stand here on the shore, I can hear the ocean roar. The tide's gone out, I'm stranded on my own. Not a love, not a friend, but on God I can depend to show me the light and safely lead me home. And I'll sing those old songs again. And I'll thank the Lord for every place I've been. And I'll start my life anew some sweet day, singing praise the Lord for showing me the way. Singing praise the Lord for showing me the way.